nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. Father, we want to have our minds set on the Spirit. We orient our hearts now to hear your word, hear your Spirit speaking to us, because we don't want to have our minds set on the flesh, but on the Spirit. So we ask, Father, that as Bill shares both with the children and with the adults, that his word would be powerfully received by us, and we're not just hearing a word that sounds good, we want to put it into application. So we open our hearts to you now to receive the power of the word. Bless Bill and anoint him as he speaks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, if there's kids here want to come to the front, just come and join me. This morning, we want to talk about Jesus. It's always a good theme. And what happens when somebody gives their heart to the Lord? What is God's promise to you kids, to us? What's his promise? When you give your heart to Jesus, does Jesus take up residence in you? Does he move into your house? Does he move into your shed? Or does he move into you? What happens?
He moves into your heart.
Do you know what that means? You have a little bit idea what that means? We're going to learn a little bit about that this morning, kind of in a few minutes. Okay? Now, this is you, okay? You. This is you. You're now a Christian. And the Bible says that you live in Jesus, or Jesus lives in you. Okay, so what does it mean when Jesus lives in you? So I'm going to give you some papers here, and for those of you who can read, we're going to give the mic. I'm going to give you one. I'll do this real quickly. Here you go. 3, 4. You want one too? Here you go. Tim, there. Denver, Evan, Slade. You want one? Yeah? Would you like one? I'm almost out. Just a minute. For those of you, okay? Got two left here. Okay. So, who can read? What does it mean? This is what it means if you're in Jesus. Okay. What, can you read that for her, Sam?
I can't read.
Okay, it says all.
I cannot read.
Okay. Say all God's promises. All God's promises are yours, okay? It says God's peace.
God's peace.
You are?
Seated
in heavenly places.
Chosen.
Forgiven. Tim, what's yours say?
I cannot read.
Well, that's a big one. That's a big word.
I cannot read.
Okay, it says justified. Yours is even a bigger one. It says righteous.
Right.
What does yours say, Denver?
I don't know.
It says covered by his blood.
Blood.
Evan?
I don't know.
New creation. What does yours say?
I cannot.
Eternal life. Oh, another big word. Slade, say sanctified.
Sanctified.
All right. What does yours say? Oh, open it up. Every need supplied. Excellent. Okay, this one.
Saint.
Good job, saint. And?
Adopted
as sons. Okay, now what I want you to do is to put all those papers in here. That's what it means when Jesus comes to live in your heart. Okay? In there, next one. Any more? Okay, Slade, yep. Excellent. There, a couple more. Okay, that one. Got one more left? Okay, now we're going to put a lid on it. Okay, this is you as a Christian. And then it says, then this one here says this is Christ. So when you're a Christian, all those things that you read that were on your papers belong to you. Do you think that you as little Christians should ever be worried again? Should you ever wonder about what's happening to your sin? Should you ever wonder about God's promises? You think they're all yours? Do you think God's love is always there? Yeah. Do you think he continues to choose for you? Yeah. You're right. So we have a Christian who is in Christ. Now we have one more. The Bible also says that Christ is in the Christian. And we're going to put a lid on it. Okay? You in Christ and Christ in you. So wherever you go, you carry who? You carry Christ. You carry God. So all the promises and all the life of Jesus goes with you wherever you go. Does that make you somebody special? Does that make you somebody unique? Does that make you somebody that God really, 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 really likes and really, 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 really loves?
No.
Does that mean God will ever leave you or forsake you?
No.
Can't be, because he'll always go with you. So when you go through your week this week and you're having a hard day. Yeah?
Then my mommy prayed to me.
Okay, Megan, whatever that was. Is your mommy special? Yeah, okay. Okay, kids, you can sit down, but I want you to remember this. When you have a hard day or a hard hour, and you're a Christian, and Jesus lives in your heart, he's right there with you. And all these promises and a whole bunch more are yours. You can say, Jesus, I'm having a hard time. Please help me right now. You don't even need to look for him over there. He comes from inside. Okay? All right. Thank you. You can sit down. Oh, I forgot one piece. Okay, I'll just read these. This was, kids, those were the ones when you didn't have one. You can sit down. So when Christ is in you, you're the temple of the Holy Spirit. You can take this with you. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Tim, you can have fellowship with God. Jesus calls you a king. You carry God's life. You're a priest. You have the power of the Holy Spirit. You can walk in faith. And Jesus works through you, and you operate in God's grace. You have that in your name. Yes, you do. Thank you. All right. You can stay up here if you want. That's okay. You can sit up here. If your moms don't mind, dads don't mind, I don't mind. Okay. We're going to read out of Romans 8, verses, I think it's 9 through 13 or so. 9 to 17. Romans 8, beginning at verse 9, where it says, "But I can't find you. I've been going through this trouble and life is overwhelming." Now the truth is, he's never gone anywhere. He sticks close to you than a brother because he's taken up residence. So it then follows that believers are to live day by day by the Holy Spirit and like adopted sons and heirs of God and as heirs of God should live. Now we won't even get to that part here in Romans 8. So that's the first thing. Is the Spirit of God dwells in you and he's not going anywhere. He's not going anywhere. He's taken up residence, but he will submit to your will. And to the extent that your will surrenders to him, to that extent will he give life through all of you. But the second thing is life in the Spirit. So we're going to expand on the word life. It's referred to in Romans 8 various times. The first one is verse 2. It says, life in Christ Jesus. Verse 6, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse 10, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Verse 11, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. And verse 12, if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So life, what's your quality of life? This little girl doesn't know. That's a fair answer. Verse 6 says it should give you life and peace. The life includes walking and enjoying righteousness. It includes receiving life to your immortal bodies. So the illustration that I used here was the first is me in Christ. If you're a believer, then you are in Christ. You're one with him. And what does it mean to be in Christ? What does it mean to be in Christ is Ephesians 1, verse 3, where it says, in Christ you've been given every possible spiritual blessing that comes from heaven. You've been made righteous. You're justified. You're forgiven. You're chosen. You're predestined. You're adopted as sons. You've been given the down payment of the Holy Spirit. You have his peace living in you. His joy lives in you. The fullness of his love is in you. So it means to live in Christ. You're chosen before. You're forgiven of all your sins. You have fellowship with him. You have fellowship with the Father. You have fellowship with the Son. And you have fellowship with the Spirit. Now, do you think it's ever possible to abuse this? Simple answer is yes. We had our Bible study on Wednesday night, and it kind of came up. What's the difference between Christ and me in Christ? And I suggested as something that I'd read that 90% of the church is focused on what God can do for me. I'm in Christ. Lord, I have done this. Now I expect this. I've asked for this, and I'm looking for what I'm asking for. You see, if as soon as we, so the truth of being in Christ doesn't change. But when I revert to walking in the flesh, then it becomes about me. And those Christians never grow up. Because the world revolves around me, what God can do for me. I'll stand in line to receive a prophetic word, and next week I'll do it again. I'll go to the altar for someone to pray for me, and next week I'll do it again. And as one wise man said, you said, when are you going to have a prophetic word for me? Go get your own. And so I want an experience. I want a word from the Lord for me. And don't let things get too uncomfortable because that's too hard. I don't want change, especially uncomfortable change. I just want to stay where I am. Thank you, Jesus, for eternal life. And I've got everything I ever need. Thank you, I'm in you. No pain, no gain, and they're okay with that. Lord, I gave this up to achieve that. Now, we might not say it, but we think it. I continue to run into people, and this is not a criticism, but it's reality, of feeling God let them down. I had these expectations, and I gave this to God, and I surrendered this to God, and I'm doing this for God, I'm doing that for God. There's nothing else for me to surrender as far as I know, and he's doing nothing back for me. Somewhere they've stepped out of walking in the Spirit. And so if we only consider me in Christ, we could be out of balance. So we got to consider Christ in me. Verse 10 says, and if Christ is in you, it means two things. It means all that me in Christ includes is best lived out and displayed when I permit Christ in me to be Lord. If I'm in Christ and Christ is in me, he's not only my Savior, he's also my Lord. You see, when I'm in Christ, he's my Savior. When I say Christ is in me, he gets to rule. I'm going to go back to the 90-10, if the statistic is 90. If it's about what I need, and I got wounded, and I got hurt, and I got disappointed, and I got let down, and you have to ask the question, is Christ ruling in you? Did you check out somewhere? Did you stop somewhere by allowing him to continue to call the shots? I know I'm going quickly because I want to get to where it hopefully hits home or more practical or application. So the first thing is, is surrendered life. The second thing is, when Christ is in you and you incarnate that, it will cause you to become a threat and danger to everything the devil stands for. Okay, let me go back to my beginning. It is important to understand how Romans 6 and 7 has to precede Romans 8. Because if the devil can keep you there, that somehow the old man is not dead, and that somehow you're going to have this battle with sin, which excuses you to sin. And when it is all about me, you will never be a threat to the kingdom of God of any measure. But when you live to maturity, when you become the sons of God that can help the travail of creation to be released from it, the kingdom of darkness continues to suffer defeat after defeat after defeat. Now, some of us may not want to ever sign up to that. I didn't sign up to that. That's for the super Christians. That's for the elite Christians. That's for the spiritual Christians. No, it's not. It's for you. Incarnating Christ in you will cause you to become a threat and danger to everything the devil stands for. Jesus, or John, writes this about Jesus in 1 John 3, verse 8. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now, last week I ended off at verse 11. I said, you can mull over this and chew on this. Remember that verse 11? Let me read it with you. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. So here we have Jesus, who gave up the ghost willingly and he died. He also said earlier, I lay it down, but I pick it up again as well. How that exactly works, I don't know. But that is the illustration. And then Paul writes, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. Who is that? The Spirit of God. Where's the Spirit in you? The innermost being. And so what I suggested to you, when you start to get sick, why don't you speak to the sickness from your spirit? That's verse 11. How do you do that? Well, let me give one. Let's start foundation, one you can relate to. When you had enough of sin, when your sin bothered you enough, or when you knew you needed a Savior, you knew it required more than some head knowledge, more than just words. You knew it required your heart, right? You spoke from your spirit. You were quickened in your spirit, you repented and you believed, and therefore it was a genuine repentance, right? Now, if you pray over someone, I know God's going to test us on this at some point. So now we have a sick individual here, and you're going to speak over them and say, the Bible says, by his stripes you're healed. Rise up, be well. And they don't rise up. What's the problem? It could be a number of things. By his stripes you're healed. Now, could there be a difference by me just rattling this off with my mind, or now from my spirit where Christ dwells, releasing life from my spirit as I say these things? Is there a difference? Yes, there is. It says in verse 11, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. Where does the Spirit dwell? In your spirit. He's one with your spirit. And when you speak from your spirit, you release life. When you speak from your head, you don't. If this morning, and I sense, I don't know what's going on, I sense that it might be from my mind to your mind this morning, and I don't know what that is. But if I'm releasing from my spirit, then you ought to be able to receive it in your spirit. And if it comes from my spirit to your spirit, it gives life. If it goes from my head to your head, it's just information. There's no, it's maybe true, but there's no truth. There's no life of Christ in it. And I believe this is the key that many Christians are searching for. They don't know how to tap into the spirit realm. And so we have divisions and church splits and fighting and even a lot of sickness that is unnecessary because it is tackled with the mind. Now, I know it's a general statement, but if the body of Christ speaks from the spirit, there's no confusion in the spirit of God. If the body of Christ could consistently live and operate out of the Spirit, there would be love, there would be joy, there would be peace, there would be life, and walking in forgiveness, walking in no condemnation, and all of those things. Why? Because when you operate from the Spirit within, that's what comes out. Am I making sense? I know I'm not over your head. Maybe it's too basic. But we continue to see Christians, and sometimes we're there ourselves where we don't know how to tap into the Spirit. Or we forget to, or we refuse to. Okay. So we need to consciously speak from our spirit, to consciously release from your spirit. When I speak to my boys from my spirit and their spirit is open, we connect. But I need to consciously, that's the key word, consciously do that. Okay, so what are some hindrances and deterrents to kind of drive this home, hopefully in some practical ways? Jesus says, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Okay, so in a negative sense, there's hindrances and deterrents. In the positive side, there are keys. The negative one is Romans 7. Hindrances and deterrents, my flesh gets in the way. I still have remaining sin. The key is sanctification. Paul writes in Philippians, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. So I'm not presuming anything. I'm not presuming you're living as a wretch. I'm not presuming you're living above reproach. But is there something in your life as you're seeking God that would hinder you from hearing God, from communion with God? What am I saying? Let's say I was addicted to cigarettes and have all these people tell me, you know, Bill, you need to quit. You just need to quit. You just need to quit. And so I'm doing everything I can to quit, but it's not helping. But then on a given day, the Spirit of God nudges me. Today's the day. Now's the time. And if I ignore that one, I'm ignoring a process of sanctification. You see, he's a better person time-wise and how he does it than any one of us. Now, he might use another person to say, you know what, you just confirmed that the Spirit of God nudged me this morning. Or he's been on me for the last few weeks. Thank you for confirming. It's not about beating yourself up over remaining sin, but it's about the sin you continue to commit that you know he's been talking to you about. Because the old man's dead. There's no excuse. The second one are trust issues. That's the hindrance. The key is surrender. If you don't fully believe in God's love for you and the good things he has in store for you, you're going to feel stuck. I also don't know how four dimensions work, Cam. I can see three-dimensional. In God's kingdom, there's multi-dimensions. Ephesians 3 just has four. His love is multi-dimensional. But when I feel stuck, when I don't know if I can trust God, I'm not going to surrender to him. Because of the role I walk in as pastor, I do hear people's hearts. Sometimes in this church, sometimes outside of this body. And it's not uncommon for them to say, I don't dare trust God. And I would say that's probably the root issue why they are stuck where they're stuck. You asked him for something and he didn't do it. You've been asking for 5 years. You've got a painful situation. You've got a thorn in the flesh. You didn't ask 3 times. You've asked 11 times or you've asked 111 times and it hasn't been removed. You're stuck. You ask for something, you didn't do it. You ask God for deliverance, and deliverance seems so far away. So why would you wholeheartedly ask him again and make yourself vulnerable to him again? You know what's easier? Put up a wall. You'll surrender in this area and that area, but not in this one. Because you know best. Things, life would just get a whole lot better and easier if God would just move that and hear this one. Let's say in a given day you make 2,700 decisions, big and small. How many of those include the consciousness of the Holy Spirit? In my world, the big ones, yes, I won't move without them. The small ones, I can do this. I believe this is the biggest key, it's the number one key, and it's the one that'll move the most roadblocks. It is surrender. And for some, I had this one time. I may have shared this before. I'm stuck on a Sunday morning. I had no breakthrough. Lord, there's a part of this message that it's like, I got this piece, and I don't know how to connect them. And I wasn't hearing God. 6:30 Sunday morning, on my face before the Lord. I know where I was in my house. And the Holy Spirit said to me, you need to confess this sin to the elders. You think I wanted to do that? I had no peace. And I knew the key. So I sent a text to Graham, Bert, and Neil. And I said, brothers, I need to tell you guys this. We've had some accountability and there's some things that I shared, but I need to add this piece. Please forgive me for not telling the truth, and please forgive me. You know how the body works when they walk in the love and spirit of the Lord. We forgive you. And the breakthrough came. See, it comes down to that simple. You see, the joy, the love, the peace, the revelation, everything you need is inside of you. And when he tells you to do what he tells you to do, do it. Francis Frangipane, on his series In Christ's Training, something like that, forget the title. He had a dream one time. He was with all these pastors, all these leaders, important leaders, people of, you know, the who's who. And the glory of God was kind of out there. And there was one simple instruction. All you need to do is confess your sin in front of your fellow leaders, and you can enter the glory. Nobody moved. But the cleaning lady, she says, what? All I need to do is confess my sin? Oh, she said, that's easy. She confessed it, and she entered and experienced the glory of God. I don't know who God's talking to this morning besides me. We make it so hard. We've done this, we've done that, we've done that. We sing a song, I surrender. You know what surrender means? Surrender 100%. But we question God's love. We question that he knows best. We take it in our hands, or we're oblivious to it. We didn't know. Or we forgot. But this morning you heard it. This is not to rob you of life. This is to help set you free. If you want to live out Romans 8, it starts with knowing the old man is dead. There is no provision for the flesh. And so any sin that comes at you, there is a way of escape, 1 Corinthians 10. And then there is no condemnation. And everything you have is in you. You are in Christ, but Christ needs to be in all of you. Not just your toe. He needs to be in your hands, he needs to be in your eyes, he needs to be in your flesh, he needs to be in your thoughts, he needs to be in your will, he needs to be in your emotions. So the Spirit of God that is in you permeates your soul and permeates your body, so you get to be the threat that you are to be to the kingdom of darkness by which the King is glorified. I know we're way past time, so otherwise I would ask Cam to come lead that song again. But I want to leave you with this. Where are you obeying? You need to keep obeying. God is faithful. Or where have you said no? It could be you got to go back to someone and apologize. It could be there's something you've been hiding from someone somewhere and you need to go make it right. And maybe your slate is clean. Then God bless you as you walk in the power of the Spirit of God. Because the power that is in you is what raised Jesus from the dead and give life to your mortal bodies and abundant life to your soul. So the life that is in you will not just fill you, but flow over and give life to others. In Jesus' name, amen. Graham, let's close the service.
That rather calls for a response, Bill. It's easy to hear the word and say, oh, that was nice, and in 5 minutes, just gone. So